This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
To be reelected and continue to hear that song, Hail to the Chief, Donald Trump in a 24-hour period raised $24 million. Think about that for a minute. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, and the road to the White House is not cheap, and the road to reelection is not cheap either. But that's a pretty big haul in a short amount of time. And of course, it is about being able to travel around, shake a lot of hands, have the conversation. And when you hold the keys to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and you're out there at rallies and talking to people, that only increases your chances among your base. In the meantime, in the Hollywood squares of Democrats, that's what, in my mind, that's what I think about, because I think of how many are running and what they're saying and kind of how that's going to pare down that list of Democrats and what the Democratic strategists are saying as far as doubling down on certain candidates and continuing to poll. But somebody who continues to poll well is Joe Biden. And the former VP, though, has absolutely put his foot in his mouth a few times, and now he's going under the microscope again for something that was said, his rivals, from some of his rivals, even for remarks he made this week about working civilly with segregationists serving in the Senate in the 70s. U.S. Senator Cory Booker, he's also wanting to hear that music, Hail to the Chief. He's seeking the Democratic nomination. He called on Joe Biden to apologize. He said, frankly, I'm disappointed. He hasn't issued an immediate apology for his pain in his words that he's dredging up for many Americans. He should do that. And it just has bubbled over for Biden, who at 76 is leading in early opinion polls in that very crowded Democratic field that I talked about, to take on the incumbent, you know, president, Donald Trump, in the November 2020 election. So Biden was at a fundraiser in Potomac, Maryland, and he didn't apologize for his remarks that he made earlier in the week or address the controversy. At other events he's done this, he cited the civil rights movement as an inspiration for his political career, and he called civil rights leader the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. a personal hero. And Biden's campaign keeps getting asked questions, and he said he's not endorsing the positions of the segregationists he named, but using them as an example of someone with whom he disagreed. So, Joe Biden, I think this is gonna happen a bunch to Joe Biden, because he has a long track record when he goes all the way back to joining the U.S. Senate in 1973. Think about that. And part of what his rallying cry is, not that I have a record and you go check it, but that we got things done. We got things done, even if I didn't agree. Because remember, one thing about Biden is he is known as the uniter across the aisle. So it's interesting. His opponents are jumping on anything that they can seize because they know he's getting the numbers. Wonder what a debate with Biden and Donald Trump would look like. It could not possibly be as interesting as Hillary Clinton, let's face it, and Donald Trump, because of, you know, all the things that happen in their debates, the sideshow, crazy antic circusness of it, versus I think what would happen with Joe Biden. I could be wrong. It may be him. But, you know, the president continues to raise a lot of money. 24 is really more than 24. It's $24.8 million in less than 24 hours. That is a pretty staggering sum. And it was tweeted out on Wednesday morning. The Republican Party chairwoman, Rona McDaniel, tweeted it out. And, boy, that really dwarfs, though, what the top Democratic contenders in the 2020 White House primary raised over the course of the first 3 months this year. So, you know, it's certainly the power of incumbency. And what are the Democrats doing to prepare for this matchup with the president? The president is close to $50 million with cash on hand. By the end of March, they were talking about that. It's got to be more than that. And so now you dump an additional Republican National Committee money, and you think of the ads and what you do and what you have to run, what the money that has to be pumped through there for you to be elected. It costs a lot of money to be, I think, elected president of the United States. Think way back when none of us were alive, and you only read about it in the history books or heard about it in your classes, that it costs like pennies on the dollar to run, and you didn't have these long campaigns. Like, you campaigned for a month, maybe 2 months tops. Yeah. Speaking of campaigning, somebody who was privy to the president's thoughts when he was running for office, Hope Hicks, was under the microscope in Washington, D.C., for what she could possibly know about the president and did he obstruct justice. And, you know, they were digging and digging and digging, I think, on the Hill. But in this closed-door session, not much came out of it. So it leads you to believe that there wasn't really much that was offered up. And I don't think that's a shock. She's close to the family, and, you know, she certainly was there for some key moments. But she's been gone for a year. She stayed out of the limelight as much as she could. She wasn't in front of microphones, didn't give a lot of interviews. She was the former White House communications director and campaign spokesperson. So she's the first senior, though, administration official mentioned in special counsel Robert Mueller's report to testify before Congress. And that's really the follow-up. It's the follow-up to the Mueller report. Are we ever going to stop talking about the Mueller report? I don't think so. The House Judiciary Committee subpoenaed Hicks because of her proximity, of course, to the president during a bunch of the episodes that Mueller's report describes as he tries to trying to thwart the investigation of Russian interference in the 2016 election. You know, that's what was talked about in the report, and piecing together the people that were around the president, then I think that's part of the idea. But remember, the report found no conspiracy between the president's campaign and Russia, even though repeated foreign attempts to influence the election on Trump's behalf we know were out there. Mueller said he didn't have the option to charge the Prez with obstruction of justice, and I think on the Hill they're trying to figure out ways that they can keep prying off what they think is a Band-Aid covering something up, but so far nothing is happening. I mean, this was a closed-door interview with the House Judiciary Committee, and it was like a seven-hour interview. Can you imagine? But nothing came out of it that was saucy, you know? I mean, even the House chairman said he was satisfied with Hicks' testimony, but said that the blanket objection to answering questions about her time in the White House would not stand, saying that she answered some of the questions and they learned some information, but apparently a lot of the time she wasn't answering some of the questions. Figure it out for yourself. Pull it apart like a jigsaw puzzle. We're talking about numbers next. We can count.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit partdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us. That nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
It's about numbers, and we got a bunch of them. Some of them sad, some of them a little bit brighter. Let's put it that way. So we jump to oil right away. And when you think about oil, what country do you think about? You think about Venezuela, for one. Chevron has been in Venezuela for nearly 100 years, and now they're saying they could be forced to leave despite this long relationship because they might not survive the Maduro regime's fight with the U.S. So the infrastructure of Venezuela is crumbling. The OPEC members' national oil company has been sanctioned by the Trump administration. Chevron, the last major U.S. oil company still operating there, could be forced to leave unless the U.S. extends sanction waivers, and they're going to expire on July 27th. If Chevron exits, and that follows on the heels of another major American company, because there's been a bunch, that have retreated from the chaos, the nonsense in Venezuela in the last couple of years, it would really throw that country into more economic turmoil. Because you think of the expertise, the resources, it makes it worse for a country that's oil rich, that the oil industry is what they count on. And look, they're already on the brink of collapse under Nicolas Maduro as the president. So it's a major market problem for them. And it's certainly for the country. What would happen is if Chevron leaves, the country would almost certainly nationalize the oil assets. I mean, Maduro's in a fight for his country, so he needs cash. Cash is king multiplied there, and every resource he can possibly get. But with the sanctions expiring, all of that, it's negative. I mean, they'll bounce out, that's for sure. Because remember, in January, the president imposed sanctions on the PDVSA to try to push out Maduro, and that stopped American companies from doing business with them. And that says to me that they're probably going to have to retreat, and that again, would be incredibly crippling. Incredibly crippling. All right, how about Boeing? Speaking of crippling, they found the first buyer for a 737 MAX since the Supermaxes have been grounded. They're looking for some confidence. They need it desperately. So Boeing and IAG, the owner of Aer Lingus, British Airways, Iberia, and other European carriers, announced a letter of intent on the purchase of the jets at the Paris Air Show. Who says you don't do business at an air show? Because remember, they've been grounded since mid-March because of the fatal crashes in Ethiopia and Indonesia, and they've been working to come up with a fix to the automatic safety feature that's the focus of the crash investigations, and there's not a time frame for their return. So the 737 MAX is Boeing's best-selling jet, but they have a backlog of about 5,000 of the planes on order. They continue to build the jets since all the groundings happened, but at a reduced pace, and they haven't made any deliveries. And they hadn't reported any sales of the 737 since March, since they were grounded. So this is huge, needless to say, for Boeing. They did announce, you know, the orders for 100 new planes, and that is huge, because they have been trying to bounce back since what happened in March and all the conversations about the dangers of the airplane, until they really fix that safety feature in the minds of everyone. And especially you think of Southwest having the graveyard, so to speak, of these brand new jets that they acquire, or that they were going to acquire, etc. And other airlines, American had a bunch, and this was a big blow to them. So this is now them coming out on the other side, the amount, etc., all of that. How about this announcement? Motorcycles in China. What's up with that? Harley Davidson is going to make small motorcycles, they say, in China. So that's their new partner. They're partnering up to do this. They're trying to sell more motorcycles off the shores of the U.S. They said that they're teaming up with a motorcycle company to make this small version that goes on sale in the country next year. And for Harley, China is a major growth market. Sales in the country, this is a big number, increased 27% in 2018. And Harley-Davidson wants half of its sales to come from international markets by 2027. So that's their long-term strategy, because they've got declining U.S. sales because the customer base is getting older, is what they're saying. So they're increasing production in places like Thailand. But, of course, tariffs play a key role in plans to make more of the bikes in Asia, for sure. The European Union raised its 6% tariff to 31%. Last June that happened in response to the tariffs on steel and aluminum. So how cost effective is all this for Harley Davidson? And for the company, of course, it makes sense if you think of their population, exploding populations, and how many bikes they would sell there. When you talk about a big number, like I said, over 27%, the big jump there, That's huge. You know, we think of refugees and the numbers of people who come through the border, and there's always speculation, oh, the number's smaller, bigger, or whatever. Canada actually overtook the U.S. as the world's leading host of what they call formerly resettled refugees in 2018. This is part of the UN Refugee Agency's annual Global Trends report. They found that more than 70 million people have been forced to leave their homes due to violence or persecution. And the UNHCR said that 92,400 refugees were resettled to 25 countries. According to the official government stats, Canada accepted 28,100 more than any other nation. The United States, by the way, because I know you're sitting there saying, well, what, how many for the United States? It's got to be a high number. Ding, 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 you'd be right. Second most 22,900. And I was looking at population numbers. If you were to take a guess, higher or lower, what you think the U.S. population is, you know what the U.S. population is? 329 million. I thought it was just a tad lower than that. 329 million. And, of course, we know the administration is tightening up the rules regarding asylum seekers that want to settle in the U.S. because they're calling it the program a scam, basically, saying that lawyers coach tough, violent men through the whole process. And the number of refugees has been cut down, so that's why we're seeing how the numbers come down and Canada overtakes that spot at number one. Yeah, there's the problem with the courts, the judges trying to figure it out. We've talked about this a zillion times on the show and had so many people on to talk about it, and there's no question about it. You have to be able to do the process, and the process is taking longer and longer and longer. Hey, the president is saying he's going to meet up with Putin at the G20 summit next week. He's saying that they're going to meet up in Japan. He did an interview, the president did, on Fox News, and he said he's going to have meetings with Putin and the Chinese prez. He said, I want to get along with Russia. I think we will. I want to get along with China. I think we will. I'm meeting actually both of them next week at the summit. And, it's funny how that gets reported all the time. And you think, is it shocking that they would meet? It's not shocking, right? Because it's about what's the relationship. Think of the tariff problems. Think of the potential that's hanging over the head of economically the balance and the relationships between those two countries and our country. So, it always seems to be news, but I think it's kind of expected. Or maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think it's expected at this stage of the game in Russian relations, especially, but also in our relationship with China, that there would be meetings, right? And, of course, there's going to be meetings at the G20. How about UFOs? My pal who cleans up George Norrie when it comes to UFOs, in listening to him talk about it, I'm wondering what he thinks about this. Three U.S. senators got a classified Pentagon briefing on Wednesday about a series of reported encounters by the Navy with unidentified aircraft, part of a growing number of requests from members of key committees, because naval pilots apparently are running into unexplained interference in the air. That would be a safety concern. I would want to see the report, too. I'd be interested in unidentified aerial phenomenon if I were a senator and I had the chance to see what was out there. Right? That makes sense. Stay with us.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-506-6740. 800-506-6740. That's 800-506-6740.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
EPA Chief Andrew Wheeler has signed an order easing Obama-era restrictions on coal-fired power plants.
We can't deny the fact that fossil fuels will continue to be a key part of the energy mix both at home and abroad. Coal use is rising worldwide.
The new rule gives states more leeway in deciding on whether to require plans to make limited efficiency upgrades. The state of New York says it will sue. Hope Hicks has ended her private interview with the House Judiciary Committee. President Trump's former communications director testified for 8 hours. California Democrat Ted Lieu said Hicks didn't answer any questions about her time in the White House.
Even something as simple as, where is your office located? Objection. It is ridiculous. There is no such thing, no absolute immunity.
Democrats on the panel say they may go to court to challenge her immunity claim. This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right, Proactive MD, plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Very excited to welcome to the show. He's in our virtual green room right now, Michael Fitzpatrick, and he's written a cool book called Saving Peg Leg. Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Kate. How are you?
I'm excellent. Let's talk about saving peg leg. So first of all, I love asking this question to a lot of authors because a lot of times people say, oh, I have a book in me. Oh, I want to write a book. Oh, I have several books. And then sadly, they never get to it and there's stories that are lost. You got to it. Did you know that you had a book in you?
I did. I have many unpublished writings that I do. I'm a first grade teacher, so I write a lot of stories with the kids. But besides that, I've written different things written down over the years and just never really finished them or, you know, continued them, got the dots down. But this was a unique experience for me of how it came about. So,
so it was unique how it came about. So tell us how it came about. You can't tease us.
Well,
what happened?
Okay. Well, a neighbor of mine for many, many years was walking up the street, and I was putting some knickknacks in the front garden, some ducks and turtles and different things. My aunt loves the garden, so I bought them and I put them out there for her. And she said to me, the neighbor said to me, oh, I had a turtle when I was a kid. He had three legs, and I called him Peg Leg. And I said, really? Tell me more. So I interviewed her at her home, and the story is based on what she had told me and a lot of my imagination. And I wanted to make it into a picture book, but there was just so much that came out of me when I wrote and wrote and wrote. And 19,000 plus words later, I finished my masterpiece.
I love that you say I finished my masterpiece, because indeed I would agree with you. So tell us the tale of Peg Leg. Give us Give us a little synopsis of Peg Leg.
All right, well, like I said, Peg Leg was based on, is based on the true accounts of a young girl's experience with an injured turtle she found in her yard. And she called Peg Leg, of course, because it had the three legs, found out it was injured, and took it to the vet, got some information about turtles. She was going to keep it as a pet, but one of the things that struck her was that this particular type of turtle, wood turtle, should be, as it's on the endangered species list, it should be kept out in its own environment. But she was very, very concerned about its injury and didn't know what to do. And through her family and friends and her love of animals and especially her faith, the story came about. So that there's some fun things that happen, and then there's the sad thing that happens, and then at the end, it works out so that Jane makes her decision.
Yeah, I like that, and I like how you said that. At the end, it works out. She makes her decision. Don't tell us what the decision is, because then we've got people interested. They're on the edge of their seats about saving Peg Leg. And it's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting about turtles. People have a real love for turtles. I would be one of those people.
Right.
I see what's happening with turtles in the world, and I see there's just amazing kinds of turtles. And you know, what kind of turtle is Peg Leg?
Peg Leg was a wood turtle, and wood turtles are on the endangered species list, but I also know a lot of people that do have turtles as pets. And in the book, it mentions about her concern about this turtle staying at her house or going back in the environment. But remember, she's 9 years old, and she's worried about his safety. And she doesn't know what to do because her mom says she's got to train it back in the wild, and she's caught between basically a rock and a hard place in deciding for a 9-year-old girl. Her father thinks she should keep it. So one teacher friend of mine has a turtle for over 29 years now. She has a turtle. So many people have turtles, and I love that. I mean, I've had classroom pets. I've never had a turtle. I've had hermit crabs, but I would love to keep a turtle in there and bring in Peg Leg. I have a stuffed turtle for the kids to play with.
I love that, the stuffed turtle. So we're speaking with Michael Fitzpatrick, author, teacher, the name of the book is Saving Peg Leg. Have you read any of Peg Leg to the students or talked about Peg Leg at all?
Yes, it was published just before school ended last year, and I read the entire, I read it during snack time, each chapter, and the kids were at the seat wanting me to read more, and I just read a chapter a day. It's broken into very small chapters, but it's good read for kids to read, to go back into it, and for anybody, really. A lot of my adult friends have read it as well, and the kids just come up with these pictures. They draw these things like every chapter, and they're writing me notes. Where's Peg Leg going to be next? It just makes the day.
Oh yeah, no kidding. If they're asking where Peg Leg's going to be, what do you hope people that are listening to this interview, what do you hope they take away from your story?
Well, this character Jane, based on a true person, in interviewing with her, I saw from her home that she is very caring towards animals, and she had a St. Francis statue right inside her door. So I thought at the time that she was on the religious side, religious in general, and she is, but she isn't. I found that out later. But what I want to take the readers to take away from it is that, you know, through a little girl's mind and thoughts and worries and concerns, it can be happen to anyone, because you can find, as an adult, an injured animal outside, and you want to do it what's right for it. And some people may keep it, some people may bring it to the shelter, and this was just a good story as far as those four aspects of what Jane has, is her family, her friends, love of animals, and her faith.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's definitely evident through the book. And you talked about Michael sitting down and writing it and pouring out the words, coming out 19,000 words later. Wow, you look up and, you know, there you go. Was it just kind of a labor of love when you wrapped up the book?
Yes. Well, see, many of the things that this neighbor had given me were true things that she told me. The only thing, she couldn't tell me how the turtle actually got in her yard. So I took what she told me, where she lived, where she grew up, and I just wrote and wrote and wrote. And then I added things. When she read it, she absolutely was amazed by it. She was like, wow, this really turned out to be a really good book, is what she said to me. It was like, this is a nice story. And she could relate to several things I said that I didn't know about her, you know, that I didn't ask. And she goes, how'd you know that I wear that? I said, well, I just picked up on your character. So
I love it. You picked up on it because you were observant and you were getting all the details, right?
Right, exactly. And that's how I base the other characters on in the story, is based on two people I know and what they're like, and the adults in the story and the children in the story are children from my actual school. And many of the kids that I've read it to, when am I going to be in your book? When am I going to be in the next book? So I have that to work on. So
that's next. You got to come up with another character. So you've thought right. about that, then. You've thought about coming up with another book.
Yes, I did. I'm trying to see. I'd love feedback from people about what they think about the book, you know, positively. I admit, honestly, write your comments down so I can get better feel. I've introduced many other animals in the story in one of the chapters, and I'd like to break it up so that I write a book about each child with their character and how it relates to Peg Lake and how their pet relates to them, so, and how they got it. So that's my next goal.
I love it. So Saving Peg Leg, for people listening, Michael Fitzpatrick, the author. If people want a copy of it, Michael, where can they get it? Amazon?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I have a book trailer right now on YouTube. If you just type in Saving Peg Leg on the search engine, you will see it come up, very top one. It's in a green cover with the turtle. And it says Saving Peg Leg by Michael Fitzpatrick. And you can watch about a 2-minute, 35-second trailer about what the book is about without telling much. Just watch it, review it. And at the end, it tells you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and also in my local bookstores here in Boston area. I'm hoping to get a shelf with some bookstores around with the book display. And
awesome.
Working on that.
Awesome. I love that. So Saving Peg Leg, for everybody listening, run, don't walk, get your copy. Michael Fitzpatrick, we can't wait to see what's next. Congratulations, and thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you, Kate. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael. That was really great. I'll send you a copy of it, okay?
All right. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on.
So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at SurvivalistCamps.com. That's SurvivalistCamps.com. Trust your family survival to SurvivalistCamps.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Well, I can't tell you how excited I am to have Bonica Brown on the show. She is an extraordinary woman. She really is. And boy, have I gotten to know her just through looking at all her clips. I'm mesmerized. I can barely lift my 5-pound weight. I feel like I need to go and travel with her so she can help me. She's an incredible power lifter, and she has excelled in so many different areas in this really unique and very cool sport that many of you know. She really needs no introduction. But, Bonica, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, Kate. No,
so you had just came back from a big competition, and so there's people listening to us on radio stations all over the country, and there's other people that are listening to us through the miracle of podcasting, and of course it's also visual as well. So what you're missing if you're not seeing us visually is you're going to tell me about your medals. So hold up those medals and tell me about what happened.
Yeah, all right. So I was just at my sixth Classic IPF World, and so I got a first place right here. That's my first place medal. So I got first in squat, first in bench, and then second in deadlift. I know all my weights pretty much. I did 567-pound squat, and I did about a three. I'm going to have to use a calculator, honestly. I didn't know I was going to have to say my numbers. I know it's 147.5 kilos. The pounds, I did 325-pound bench. And then deadlift, we did a crazy jump. We only did about a 520 deadlift or so on that. And then we tried to go for the world record on a third, but I barely missed it, but it's okay.
But what's it like for you when you go to these competitions and, you know, you collect this hardware, it's exciting, obviously it's paying off because you've been doing this for years. But what, take us through the steps, what it's like before the competition, before, you know, you're going to lift, you're going to do these various events. What's going through your mind?
I try not to think about it too much, honestly, but like day before I compete, I try to rest and stay away from the venue, just totally away from it, to be just to relax, binge watch some shows on Netflix, eat, hydrate. But when it's the morning of the competition before weigh-ins, you know, I wake up and I just have my bag ready and I just do my morning ritual. So I try to get something to eat. I put on my war paint. I put on my makeup and everything. And I like to listen to motivational videos. And that just, I think of it going to battle. So I'm prepping myself for battle and I just listen to certain videos and I think about how what I was doing in training, think about what, like I was doing 12 weeks of training for this, what I was preparing for and how I was doing in training. And I think about what my openers will be, honestly, that day. I don't think of my openers weeks in advance. I think of it that day, how I feel, how I want to execute it.
And the motivational speaker, after telling us that, you know, people I know that are listening to this all over the world, by the way, not just in the United States, they have to be thinking, what is she listening to? Maybe I need to listen to it. Is there one particular person or no, you just kind of search around?
It's no, I listen to certain motivational videos and it is called, I can look at it real quick. Here it is. It's called Why Do We Fall? Motivational video. I don't know how to say the person's name, so I don't want to butcher it.
That's okay. Why do we
Matus M? That's the last one I listen to. The ones beforehand, I bounce around and pick and choose, but that's always the final one before I go compete.
I love that ritual. So tell us how long you've been powerlifting, and your story is so unique. You and I talked off the air, and you told me about how you got into powerlifting. So how long have you been doing it, and how'd you get into this sport?
Well, competitively, I think it's collectively 11 years. So what started me getting to powerlifting back in 2002 when I was a freshman in high school, I tried out for the volleyball team. But apparently there's slight politics when it comes to high school volleyball, and I didn't fit the mold in the end. I wasn't the tall, cute, skinny little blonde. I didn't have the right last name because I was at a small school, so I wasn't born and raised there. Or like three or four generations of families there. I was a transplant. I started going there in seventh grade. So transplants, you're, you know, tough luck. And so I tried out, but I didn't fit the mold. And so I cried to my mom. She went to the athletic director, and then he said, well, she can do either cheerleading or powerlifting. And I wasn't going to be a pom-pom princess. And so I was like, my mom's like, you got it. You know, I was athletic. Your father was athletic. You have it in you. I'm like, okay. Because I was a good volleyball player when I was in high school. I mean, sorry, not high school. In junior high. So it was just something to do. I knew absolutely nothing about weights. I didn't know exercises or sets and reps. Like, what you know now, just have it taken away from you. Like, you're starting over again. That's what it was. So I'm going in blind into our high school weight room, which is back then, it was literally a 30 by 30 classroom. Like, so I learned how to lift weights in like a living room. And day one was squat and bench. Day two was cleans and deadlifts. And then incline and something else, you know, other exercises each day. And I just progressed and learning and absorbing. And I was told the sky was the limit. And I kept going. And I remember, not like months later, my birthday's in August, I was squatting 315 months later as a little kid. But another school, their coach, so like I went to my first powerlifting meet literally 4 weeks later because that's what you do. And a lot of lifters are nervous, but it's like I did it. I learned how to lift. And 4 weeks later, I went to my first powerlifting meet. No expectations. You just go. And another school scouted me. They saw the diamond in the rough. They saw my potential, you know, only 4 or 5 weeks in. And so my mom started driving me to that school on the weekends to learn more and expose me to USA Powerlifting. And that was in April of 2003, and just kept going and going, doing more competitions and learning how to use equipment, programming a little bit, you know, learning how to lift better, technique.
And the rest is history, is
it? Yeah, I kept going.
What's the best thing about being in this sport and being a woman in this sport and what you've seen?
The best thing about this sport is my powerlifting family. Every meet you go to, you add more people to your family. Like Taylor Atwood, he's our 74-kilo guy lifter, and his parents, I didn't know his parents' name for 2 years because I called them mom and dad because we just, right off the bat, just loved each other. Like, he has such awesome parents, and they were cool with me calling him mom and dad. Like,
love it.
And you're just like, and you just know people across the states. Like, when I travel, I could spend a night at somebody's house instead of having a hotel stay if needed. And you just build bonds and relationships and memories. Like, years ago, I was stranded in Dallas. You know, a friend's like, hey, I'll come pick you up and take you to the airport the next day. Or, for an example, I learned that one of our Brazilian lifters was stuck in Russia. We have Russian powerlifting family, and they took her in.
Wow.
It's family. And I love adding more and more to every either if I'm coaching lifters or I'm just traveling to run a booth, or I'm lifting myself, every meet, you add people to it.
I love that.
That's my favorite thing about it.
That's great. And I know that when we talked about your routine and what you go through, Promera has been a big factor in your life. Tell us about the products you take and what they do for you.
Oh, my gosh. So, like, I've been taking the product since, how long have I been taking it? I think since 2014.
Wow.
Taking it. And so with my workouts, I always take my creatine, and on my off days, I've been slacking a little bit. I've been bad, but because it's my off time now, I don't have to gym. I don't have to do anything. But with it, I stack it with pump. Oops, I didn't line it up very good. Oops, there we go. Can I stack building blocks better?
Pump. Yeah. We can see it from people who can't see it. She's showing it to us, and it looks really good. And you say it gives you energy, and you know, what's the effect of it?
It wakes me up, honestly, and also it just pumps me up and gets me excited to work out. And then also the creatine, though, especially even during competition. So when you have a long workout like me, they're easy 3 hours long. So any pre-workout, it wears off. But then I keep going with the creatine because you don't want more creatine. Like, you want the more creatine. I don't need more caffeine because then it's like 9 o'clock at night. And so I take a creatine, and it just keeps me going. It fuels my body more. And during competitions, it fuels me more and keeps going.
Yeah, so you'd recommend it to anyone. Any woman out there that's lifting, that gives you that boost that you need, and you learn how to work the formulas, and that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, that's the formula for me, and I pass it on to everybody else, especially when I run my boots. I'm like, here's my concoction. And I give it to them like, hey, you're competing soon? Hey, just take this concoction right here. That's what I call it.
I love it. Well, we can't wait to see what happens with you next, Monika Brown. You're absolutely amazing. And, wow, the family that you've created, like you say, I love that. In my mind, I'm thinking that powerlifting family. And I, for one, just getting to know you, couldn't be more proud of you. And I can't wait to see what happens in the future. Thank you so much for coming on.
No worries. Thank you for inviting me. This was fun.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us, that nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.